KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
All right, it is Election Day. Said it a couple times this morning. And if you haven't gone to vote yet, you may go by KLYT.fm. There is some voting information, a voter's guide put together by the New Mexico Family Action Movement. Or you can go directly to their website and their action center if you'd like at nmfam.org. But go check that out. And if you're registered and you have not voted, please do. Please go vote. It's so important that we have the freedom of using our voice and our vote. And it is not something to take lightly. I think we should all be good stewards of the freedoms that were given to participate in the public square. And let me say this. I say it often on this show. While keeping the main thing the main thing. To be active in the public square, a lot of people say, well, I don't do politics. Prayerfully consider your stance on that and see maybe examples in Scripture like Daniel and Joseph, who were clearly active in the culture where they were, in spite of the culture being contrary to their morals and values and beliefs. So at any rate, if you're registered to vote, I would encourage you. That's a Steve note to you. I would encourage you to get out and vote today. Listen, regardless of how you're registered, whether whichever party you're independent, if you're registered, please go and vote. Hey, before we introduce you to our first guest, which, by the way, in the second half of the show, we'll get an update from Mike Gomez. Mike oversees the local U-Turn for Christ, New Mexico, reaching out to at-risk men and women. We'll get an update about that ministry. And here's a ministry that's going to be happening most of the summer. Summer camp and VBS. Is your family looking for a place for the kiddos to keep busy over the summer? Well, we put together a VBS guide. It's on our homepage. Same place to find that voting guide. Go to klyt.fm. In the Action Center, you'll find the guide to summer Bible camp and VBS, and enjoy. I hope the kids enjoy time at camp. Many decisions are made for Christ. And parents, enjoy the respite. I know that's not the purpose, right? But kind of sometimes. But regardless, go find the list on the website at klyt.fm. My first guest in studio, Tim Stewart's here with Impact Nations. Correct me if I'm wrong, Tim, president and CEO?
Yeah. Yeah, CEO, yeah.
All right, Mr. President, welcome. welcome back to ABQ Connect. Did you go to summer camp or VBS?
I was a frequent visitor of summer camps. When I was a kid, we had performing arts camp, which was great. It was like a week long of
band,
drama and music,
okay,
and all sorts of stuff. It
Love
was
that.
Amazing. Loved it.
Love that. I wasn't very good at it. I tried to play the flute and the cornet.
Flute was my first instrument.
Yeah, I didn't have a sax. I wanted to be a sax.
I wanted to be a sax player too. But the problem is my last name starts with an S, and they go alphabetically down and ask what instrument you want to play. By the time he got to S, and I said, I want to play saxophone. And he said, no, come on, man. I got too many saxophones. Play the flute. It's the same fingering. You can figure it out later.
Yeah, right? I did get pretty good at the recorder. Not the flutophone, not the little plastic thing.
Yeah.
I had a real nice Hohner recorder growing up, which is a beautiful instrument in the right place. Very folksy, kind of Americana. very Titanic, right?
I love it.
Celine Dion would be proud.
Hey, good Canadian.
Yeah, that's right.
Just saying.
That's right. Which Tim mentions, Tim, you grew up in Canada, and actually let's reintroduce you to those who are not familiar with you or Impact Nations, a ministry that started in Canada,
yeah,
and has found its way not only to America, but headquartered right here in the Duke City.
Absolutely, yeah. We're a registered charity in Canada, Australia, and the United States, and we're operating throughout Africa and Asia. But yes, our headquarters are right here in Rio Rancho, and we've been here since 2014, I think. Impact Nation's been around for 21 years now. My parents founded it up in Vancouver, Canada, okay, in 2005.
If you're in Alaska, we'd say you're halfway to being a sourdough. I don't know, do they do that in Canada?
No.
Okay. Sourdough, I think, is someone who's been in Alaska for 30 years.
That's funny.
Yeah. Welcome after over a decade to the land of enchantment.
Indeed.
We're going to talk a little bit today about the need for generosity from the people listening to us, visiting here. And, you know, often on the show, we do talk politics.
Mm-hmm.
New Mexico is found at the top of very bad lists and at the bottom of very good lists. and I haven't seen it recently, but it did make an impact on me. I saw maybe in the last year or two, I saw a list of generosity when it comes to the states.
Yeah.
And New Mexico, surprisingly to me, shame on me probably, was kind of in the middle of the pack, which, you know, this is a poverty-ridden state. Now, there's plenty of people in this state with money.
Mm-hmm.
For being, in general, a state, much of the population below the poverty level, it is a generous people.
It is amazing to me how people can give of themselves so generously, even when maybe they're concerned where their next meal is going to come from, and yet they still respond with generosity. And I think there's something very beautiful about that. We've got monthly givers who are giving anywhere from, I've got one monthly donor is giving $12.50 a month, and I love that. And those monthly givers are what enable us to be able to say yes when the need comes right away.
The widow's mite.
Yeah, exactly.
God, in spite of us, God does do great things, whether in spite of our financial giving or in spite of our talent.
Now, what's interesting, though, is that if we're going to receive the widow's mite, we, as stewards of those gifts, need to be really, really careful, right? That we're making good use of those gifts, right? That those gifts are actually making the difference that they're going to. And so I should probably say what we do. At Impact Nations, we're working primarily in Asia and Africa, rescuing women and children from real dangerous situations, whether that's slavery, human trafficking, teen pregnancy, gang violence, things like that, getting them out of danger, but then getting them the skills, the counseling that they're going to need in order to flourish long-term. And so, of course, Christ is right at the center of that. There's discipleship happening. There's getting them plugged into local churches and getting them into community. In many cases, we've got shelters where we've got women that are receiving that trauma care because they have been at the hands of an abuser for a long time.
Yeah.
But then really, ultimately, our goal is to get them to a place where they can be able to stand on their own, provide for themselves and their children, and avoid any risk of being lured into trafficking in the future and things like that.
Now, remind me, Impact Nations...
.com.
And I would encourage our listeners to go to the website and find out more about what's going on. You just mentioned, quite honestly, just a snapshot of the ministry that's done at Impact Nations. And I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but for those who we may lose in the next segment, every year you have a local opportunity to get together and come and find out more about Impact Nations at a fundraiser. Was it last September you had?
Yeah, at Gruet there, yeah.
Yeah. And now you're planning on September this year.
We're September 24th. We've got the venue booked. We're going to be at Seasons Restaurant in just at the edge of Old Town there.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's lovely and a bit bigger capacity because we had a lot of people last year, so we had to make room for more people. And actually, we're going to have one of our leaders from Africa coming to speak to us directly. So you're going to get an opportunity to hear from an incredible young man who is leading the charge in stimulating economic activity all over Africa, specifically in Uganda right now.
Yeah, and I would encourage you, regardless of how much you're already involved with short-term or long-term mission support, that you put this, even generally, do you have an exact date?
September 24th.
Okay.
Save the date.
Save the date for that evening at Seasons. And I will tell you, I went to the one at Gruet last year. It was very informative. And I won't go into details, but it was like no other fundraiser for a nonprofit like yours that I've ever been to. And I don't know what the plans are for this year's as far as how you're gonna do it. I thought it was fantastic last year. It's very informative.
It's a lot of fun. There's always door prizes, and we do. I think my team does a really good job. Jordan, our project manager, she does this awesome job of collecting things from the nations in which we work, such as Nepal or India or Uganda, Malawi. So you might get door prizes, and you might receive a handmade craft by one of the students in our vocational centers, and then also maybe a very nice sculpture or something like that from that nation as well.
You know, what impressed me was no matter which room you were in on the venue, you were able to consume the content that you were providing throughout the evening. And it made it very much like, you know, you don't have to like sit right there in your seat and you know, it was very, it provided an opportunity to move around, to network.
Yeah.
And again, I don't know if the format will be the same this year, but just knowing how you guys, you know, it was enough to get my attention and go, man, you guys do it well.
Thank you. Well, I will do a quick shout out to one of our corporate sponsors, DSI, Document Solutions Incorporated, right here in Albuquerque. They helped us with the technology for that. So we had screens because the venue was in such a way that we just had way more people than there was space in one room. So we were spread out over several spaces in the Gruet Winery. And they provided us with screens for each space. And we had audio equipment and stuff. And then we had cameras going so that you could see in every space.
And listen, if there was glitches, you noticed them. it was kind of like, you know, when I talk to a bride and groom getting ready, you know, and they're trying to get all the details. And I say, look, at the end of the night, if you're married, it happened. And I will tell you, at the end of the night, we were informed.
Yeah.
So kudos. The job was done. And actually, since we're talking a little bit about the ministry in this segment, and in the next segment, let me hold you, listener, into that, because we have some real stories about the work being done at Impact Nations. You do not want to, they're compelling stories you do not want to miss. Some of the information we got at the event last September during the fundraiser at Gruet, your mom and dad were a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about storyteller, your dad specifically.
Yeah.
And he loves what he does in this ministry.
Yeah. And, you know, dad is, he's still part of the team. He and mom founded the organization. I took over as CEO about 6 years ago or so. But mom and dad are both still very much part of the team. In fact, mom was leading a team to Nepal just recently, training up a bunch of our leaders there. They had our entire women's development team was there doing incredible work. Dad is still traveling and still teaching. So one of the wonderful things now that's very different from when he started 21 years ago is, you can train pastors remotely now. And so right now, every single week, he is training 36 or 37 pastors in Malawi who are gathered in a room. They've got the computer set up, and he's teaching from his office in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And they're just eating it up. Now, the reason for that is because we had taken a trip last summer, and as a direct result of that journey of compassion, which is something we do where we take teams to go and minister alongside our partners, there were 16 new churches planted as a direct result of only like a 12-day trip. And we planted 16 new churches. And so now we're training up those pastors to make sure that this beautiful gospel of restoration, this holistic gospel that can touch every part of life, is truly reaching the hearts and minds of those who are discovering Jesus for the first time.
Well, especially technologically, very different from when your dad founded the ministry.
Oh, yeah.
But it was wonderful to hear him talk about the genesis of Impact Nations, a rich history that you really need to know more about. And go to the website, too, to find out more at impactnations.com. Tim, we are up against a break. Can you stay with us?
I will be here.
Okay. I hope I teased it well enough, because Tim has a couple stories to share with you coming up. Very compelling, about lives being impacted, changed, rescued. Before we get there,
this
Tim.
This one's still unfolding today.
Yeah. Yes.
Right, like this very day.
Yeah, so. Stuff's happening now that you can be praying for. So yeah. We're going to let you know more about the details coming up right after the break on ABQ Connect. Hey, always glad to have you along with us in the 1 o'clock hour. ABQ Connect, connecting in the community, whether, you know, on a citywide scale here in Albuquerque. But KLYT is heard in Las Cruces and in Cannon Air Force Base. Near Clovis and in Portales, and of course online at klyt.fm. So citywide, countywide, statewide, nationwide, we're visiting with the ministries all over the country and the world. So regardless, it is community related on all levels, and we're always glad to have you with us. Which, by the way, if you have an event that, you know, I'm not looking for the pie social, or, but, you know, an event that is going to draw the community to something you're doing with your ministry, let us know about it. Send the details to studio@klyt.fm. You know, one thing that we absolutely focus on continuing to do well, KLYT, about 20 years ago, moved from Scottsdale Village. It was run by the Christian Broadcasting Academy. They did a fantastic job. A parachurch organization, really, not associated with a church. Now, KLYT is operated by Calvary Church Albuquerque, and we're on the campus of Calvary Church Albuquerque. And the management of this station and those who oversee the station are well aware that Calvary Church, in spite of doing great work in the community and in the world, is not the only brick-and-mortar church in Albuquerque doing great ministry. We are looking for the Big C Church to be a megaphone for in this community. And if you have something you think would be a good segment on this show, we'd love to hear from you. Send the details to studio@klyt.fm. Just go to our website, reach out to us, just hit the contact and shoot us a note and let us know what you're doing. And you never know, you could be sitting right where Tim Stewart is sitting today, Mr. President and CEO of Impact Nations. ImpactNations.com is the website. If you missed our first segment, I do want to revisit a save the date for September 24th at Seasons. It's going to be an opportunity here in Albuquerque to get together and come hear more about the ministry done at Impact Nations. Now, as we headed into the break and before this segment, we teased Tim, real-time testimonial going on. I'm going to throw it to you. I'm looking forward to hearing about this.
Yeah, so I mentioned a few minutes ago that we had a team recently in Nepal that was doing some training there. We've got a women's development team that are working to train other women around the world on how to rescue women and how to care for women who have faced traumatic situations. And while we were in Nepal doing that training, we learned of two young women who were from Uganda who had been trafficked all the way to Nepal, and they were in need of repatriation. And we happened to have one of our key leaders on our women's development team is from Uganda. And so she was able actually to fly home with these two women. We were able to change their ticket, her ticket, add them to the ticket, and get them returned back home to their families in Uganda. They had been tricked. Now, this is wild. As they gave their testimony, and we've got professionals and legal experts and stuff who can sit down with them and hear their testimony, and what the tale they told of how they got trafficked, because these are two young women. And when I say young women, I mean one is like 20, mid-20s, and one is 16, I think. They are from rural Uganda, little communities outside the city.
Village.
Yeah, a village. And so my first question was, how the heck did you end up in Nepal, different continent, halfway around the world? Like, how is that even possible? How does a young girl even have a passport to be able to get on a plane?
And you know what? Before listeners tune out at all to this, this happens on a global scale.
Oh, yeah.
Including Albuquerque, New Mexico.
This stuff is, yeah.
Young ladies, young men, parents, everyone should pay close attention to what you're about to hear as far as deceptive practices.
Oh, yeah.
Because it happens, and you need to be aware.
Absolutely. And it is incredibly intentional and deceptive. That's the exact right word. These young women are lured in by people that they meet who promise them a great job. In this case, they were promising them a job in Malaysia. And the thing is, they're so impoverished that they need to provide for themselves or their families. A 16-year-old girl feels the responsibility to help cover her parents' expenses. The other woman in her mid-20s, she's actually got two children, and so she's trying to care for those children.
And I'm going to guess, especially in that part of the world, there's a great extended family presence where they are in their village.
With a huge amount of pressure that comes with that. Yeah, absolutely. And so they get lured away saying, oh, we'll get you a job in Malaysia. And they are provided with a passport. Now, here's from the very beginning, they're told, don't tell your parents. This is a, we can't, this is there top secret information.
There's the ding, 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 ding,
exactly.
ding, ding.
Yeah. And I just found this out on my way here today. Right now, at this very moment, actually, our team is on their way with law enforcement into a village to go and arrest a witch doctor because he's near the front of the pipeline, and there's a whole pipeline. It's very, very organized. This is organized crime at its worst on an international scale. This witch doctor in some Ugandan village is part of the deal, and he casts a spell because they have been told about this opportunity, and so they want like a what we might call a blessing, right? Some sort of spell cast over them so to ensure that they will have success in going and getting this job in Malaysia. He casts a spell on them, and he tells them, this spell will keep you hidden because this is a secret job and other people can't hear about it. But if you tell anybody about the job, this spell will kill you. You will die if you tell the truth about what you're going to do. That's how top secret this is. And so now the girls are terrified that they will die if they say anything to their parents or anybody else. They get somebody in the government at a high level is able to provide them with a passport. They go to the airport. They're told to talk to this guy at that gate, and he will get you the ticket and get you in. You have to use a password and all this stuff. So there are people at every level of immigration and stuff like that going. They get onto a plane thinking they're going to Malaysia. It's not until they're buckled into their seatbelt, cabin doors are closed, that they suddenly start to realize, like, wait a minute, this plane isn't going to Malaysia. It's going to Nepal. And they land in Nepal. They're taken away to a space where they are almost immediately, in some cases, hooked on drugs and put to work in ways that are absolutely horrific. And I won't, this is family radio, so we won't talk about it. But you can imagine, it is terrible, terrible stuff. And so you can imagine the level of corruption all the way up to like the passport office, immigration, all of this stuff. And in the next 2 weeks, because of the testimony of these two girls, we're going to arrest seven people who are a part of this organized syndicate. Just in Uganda alone.
So this story focuses on two survivors that were rescued and seven criminals. But do the math, because prior to those two, there were many others.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And because of these two and the actions being taken, many lives.
How many lives are going to be saved?
Yeah, absolutely. Be impacted by this. And this is just part of the work being done by Impact Nations, rescuing lives physically in this way, and even more importantly, spiritually.
Yeah.
Do you want to speak to some of the things that go on that way?
Well, just to say that. Here's the thing. We and I said this earlier, but we believe the gospel has got it is big enough and powerful enough to transform every part of life. And so we've got to put Christ right at the center of this rescue. But it's never a bait and switch. It's never, if you pray this prayer, then you can have this food or this shelter or what have you. But rather,
it's non-conditional.
But what's amazing is as people are welcomed into community, and we've got women's shelters in many countries, and we've got vocational schools with up to 1,000 students in each of them. Actually, one of them just reached 2,000 students in it. But as they're welcomed into community and provided with opportunity, as they begin to ask more questions about why do you keep on mentioning this Jesus fella, who is he, more and more come to Christ and find that indeed he is He's the light.
Well, so much appreciate all the work being done. We did briefly mention Journeys of Compassion.
Yeah.
And we've talked, and this, again, this is just a portion of the ministry being done by Impact Nations. But it's something we've talked about in the past, and I know each year you kind of, and you mentioned already that you had trips planned, and because of geographic things that were happening with war and safety, that some of these trips didn't happen. That doesn't make Impact Nations not plan more.
We're still moving forward, absolutely, yeah. Because we know God's called us to this work. And when you've been doing it for 21 years and you've seen God bring fruit from these trips each and every time, you know this is a part of our work and it can't stop. We're going to be in Zimbabwe in November. Would love to see people there. We're going to be next year. We're going to be in the Philippines. We're going to be in Nicaragua. We're going to be in Malawi. And when you come on a journey of compassion, you are doing the work it's not just a construction project. You're not just there to visit the children and be an encouragement to the locals. You are there, actually. You're going to be praying for the sick. You're going to be sharing your testimony. You're going to watch and see God heal people right there in front of your very eyes as you lay hands on them and pray. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. It is the Book of Acts kind of stuff. Because in many of these communities, that's the only hope they have medically.
Well, and you know, I don't know that we see as much of that here in the United States, and whether with you or others that I know have traveled abroad, I think of the Middle East, where things are happening. You hear of men dreaming dreams, and things very much we've been told about, and there is revival happening all over.
I'll give you one quick story. We were supposed to be taking a team to Pakistan in March, but as a result of the war in Iran, things blew up in the Middle East, and it was no longer viable for us to be there. Partly we couldn't get there, and partly it wasn't safe on the ground because there was a lot of just hatred towards the West.
Let me guess. God still had a plan.
Guess what? God had a great plan. So our local team of doctors continued with their medical camps, and they were doing medical care in Muslim communities where they don't have access to proper medical care. And, of course, just sharing the gospel, laying hands on the sick. We had one fella who had severe soreness due to an injury because he was a Taliban warrior. And as a result of some of the battles that he'd been in as a Taliban fighter, he had severe injuries. They prayed for him, all the pain went away, and he received Christ, and he is being discipled right now. Another fella at that camp heard the gospel preached, said, please, my family needs to hear this. They took him back. He took our team back to his house. Pretty wealthy dude. He lived in a huge mansion. He had 11 sons. He tells the entire household, come out, hear the gospel. We preach the gospel. 37 people from that household were saved that very day. Baptized, believing in Jesus, following Jesus in a Muslim community. So the gospel is alive and well in these Muslim communities. I promise you that.
And let me help you find, if you're at the website, impactnations.com, up in the top right-hand corner of the website. We call it a hamburger, three lines. Just click on it, drop down menu, and then there's all kinds of information. Find that under the About Us, but under our work, you can read about more than Journeys of Compassion. But click on that Journeys of Compassion. Watch some of those videos. One of which, actually, I think I just saw your dad. Your dad's probably well fed. Past journeys, that your dad has been on. Again, a great storyteller, regardless of whether it's Tim's dad or not, it's all great information, well done video, well constructed website. I'm just trying to get you there, because once you get there, it's kind of like the whole scrolling on your phone, and you're going to go through video after video.
Yeah, book some time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, one cool little fact that a lot of people don't know is that our website was designed and is maintained by graduates of one of our vocational schools in Uganda. These are young people who are coming out of the slums, just brutal poverty, and never given an opportunity, but they've been trained on graphic design, web development, video editing. All of those videos are edited by students in Uganda. So we really, really believe in what we do, and so we just invest right back in it.
All right. Well, if you just tuned in, well, you missed it. CEO and president of Impact Nations, Tim Stewart's been our guest. You can find it archived at abqconnect.online. But Tim, before I finish up here, any final thoughts before we press on?
Just to say, if you want to know more about this, you can just reach out to me directly. Check out the website for sure. But just tim@impactnations.com. I would love to hear from you. If you got questions, if you want to have a coffee, again, you pointed it out, Steve, like, when do you have an opportunity for an international ministry like this to be right in your backyard? So yeah. I would love to meet you.
And there's some coffee places here in Albuquerque.
Absolutely. I think I'm going to go enjoy one right across the courtyard in just a moment, actually.
All right. Well, Tim, open door invite. And actually, this time you did. I appreciate you reaching out. And getting you right on the air. We'll be featuring Impact Nations throughout the month, so we'll listen for those spots and an easy way to find out how to reach out to the ministry and connect with Tim. Tim, blessings to you, the team, your family, and look forward to seeing you again real soon.
Thanks so much, Steve.
All right. Hey, don't go away. U-Turn for Christ is doing a lot of work right here in New Mexico, impacting the lives of at-risk men and women, and we'd love to tell you more. We're going to let Mike Gomez do that. He heads up the ministry here locally. We'll get to it after the break on ABQ Connect.